Bezer Hashem in Parshas Baloscha, we have the Parsha of the Chatzotros in Perek Yud, in the beginning of Perek Yud. We have the description of the Chatzotros that we are required to blow when the Machane moves camps during Yom Simchaschem, the day of Shabbos, according to Sifri Moadechem, is Yom Tov Rosh Hashechem. And then there's another time. The pasuk that precedes it is pasuk Tes. V'chis avol melchama ba'artzechem al hatzar hatzor eschem v'arei osem b'chatzosros v'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem v'nashatem o'yaveichem. So the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah during the time that enemies come upon us. Now the Rambam uses this pasuk in a very, very interesting way. The Rambam uses this pasuk as the introduction for Hilchos Tainus. The Rambam says, based on this, there's a chiyuv, a mitzvah min HaTorah, to fast, a mitzvah min HaTorah to cry out, to be more precise, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the time of Tzar. In fact, when the Rambam speaks about the idea of fasting, the Rambam says that fasting itself is only midrabbanan. However, minat, because nowhere does it say in a time of tzar is there an inyan to fast. The Rambam's lashon, let's start with the midrabbanan. In Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet Hilchos Taanis, the Rambam says, "Umidivrei soifrim lesanis akol tzar shetov al hatzibur ad shiruchuma min hashemayim." So that's only midrabbanan. Hilchos Taanis has one mitzvah min haTorah. The Rambam starts off, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, mitzvah saseh min haTorah lizok. The mitzvah to cry out. Now let's just stop right there. The Rambam in the Pirkei HaMitzvos emphasizes this. The Pirkei HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, mitzvah saseh achas, v'hi litzok l'fnei Hashem b'chol tzor gdol shelo tavo al hatzibur. So the mitzvah, according to Rambam, to be precise in the Rambam's Pirkei HaMitzvos, is to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch when there is a tzor gdol. The Rambam then, in the Yad HaChazaka, continues, Ularia b'chatzotzros, al kol tzor shetavo al hatzibur. So tzarechiyu number one is that the Rambam mentions the mitzvah blowing the chatzotzros, not the Pirkei HaMitzvos. He only mentions that in the Yad when he describes the mitzvah d'oraisa to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, halatzar hatzor reschem v'ariosam b'chatzotzros. So Rabbosai, Meseches Tainis, if you will, is a Mesechta on a d'oraisa, and it comes from Parshas Baloscha, which says, V'ariosam b'chatzotzros in the case of Hatzar Hatzor Reschem. Problem is, Tzarechiyun number two, is that there's nothing in the pasuk that says anything about davening. It just says, V'ariosam b'chatzotzros. Okay, that we'll get back to. These two Tzarechiyuns we'll get back to towards the Machshava component of our limud. But what emerges for the halachic analysis, Be'ezer Hashem, is that the essence of Bahari Osim Bechatzotzros is a kiyum d'oraisa of Tza'aka in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of Tzar. What's this unique kiyum of Tza'aka Hashem? So the Gemara in Tainus describes that there is a unique experience in which we leave our Batei Knesios and we go out to the Rechov to highlight that there is a state of Tainus. The Gemara in Meseches Tainus on Daf Tezvav describes that we would go into the street, Motzines HaTeva L'Rechova, the Mishnah says, V'nos Nefer Maklal Gavi HaTeva. Why do you go into the street? So the Gemara then says, because there are two opinions. Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, Za'aknu b'tzino v'lo ne'ninu nivza atzmeinu b'farnesia. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer us in private, then we've got to go out and proclaim outside our tshuva. Rish Lakish amar galinu galusenu mechaperes aleinu. Rish Lakish says that we need to go into galus. We can't be in the place that we are in. So the centrality of tefillah comes to the fore in which we even transform, the tefillah is heightened and is transformed to the point that we go outside. The Rambam understands us going outside as having a different component to it, and the Mefarshei Rambam struggle with why the Rambam gives a different reason to the Gemara. I didn't find anything that I really found is totally satisfactory to the Rambam, and so therefore I'm going to leave the Rambam's reason as is. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, writes, Rechova Shela'ir, Afal Pisha'a Mispalim Bo B'Taniyos Uba Amados. The street, which they sometimes daven in, during Taniyos or during the Ma'amados. We know that the Ma'amados were, that during the time that Karbanos were brought, there was always someone davening for those Karbanos. Rambam says, Mipnei Shakibutz Rav, Ve'ein Batei Knesios Mekilin Osam. So the Rambam says that the Batei Knesios were full, and the throngs would overflow into the street. It says at Tzarech Iyun Gadol on the Rambam that the later Achronim and Ma'orer, why did the Rambam give a reason that's different than the Gemara in Tainus? The Gemara in Tainus says either that we're supposed to show that we're in Galus, or the Gemara says that we need to daven Barabim. The Rambam just seems to say it's in Metzius that it flowed outside. But either way, we have three different reasons of why the streets were full during the Tainus.
The whole city would.
Oh, okay. So we're about to touch on the Maimon. Some Taka want to say that when the Rambam says that they flowed over, they were talking only about Ma'amados, not Taniyos. But that's also not what you're saying either. It's a little bit of a Tzarech Iyun Rambam. That's what the Maaser Rokeach brings down from early Achron. But this is the three different explanations. Be'ezer Hashem, our analysis for tonight is going to revolve around this exact halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Rechov, the street of the city, doesn't have Kedusha, even though that it was used during the Ma'amados and during Taniyos. So, what exactly is the status of a Rechov? What's a street? And what is the halachic implications for areas that are used sometimes for tefillah? Let me pose this question in dramatic form. Let me ask you the following. When was the last time you went to the Kotel? Johnny, when was the last time you went to the Kotel?
A couple weeks ago.
It's good you didn't answer more than a month ago, because they say that there's a discussion about Kriyas. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Rav Nemetzal likes to say over from Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you haven't been there for a month, so then you shouldn't hear Kriya, because there's no reason why you shouldn't. Elamai, the Churban doesn't bother you enough that you don't even come. So there's no Kriya b'zman hazeh in Yerushalayim. I don't know if it protects us from Beit Shemesh people. I never have garnered up the guts to ask my Rebbe about that, but Rebbe says all their times he just stands and he looks at the Makom Mikdash for just standing and spoded. Okay, so you went 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago you walked, you got off the bus or a taxi, and you walked through what's called the outer plaza, and towards the Kotel, what's the lower plaza, and there you went to daven. Was that mutter? The outer plaza is used for tefillah when there are throngs. It's a place that's used for tefillah, and we know that there's a halacha, that there's an iser kapandria, that you're not allowed to use a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut. So were you allowed to walk through that area? So maybe in your case, if you're just going to the Kotel, it's not so bad. But what about what I do every day? And that is that I walk straight through the outer plaza without going to the Kotel, walking from the yeshiva through the outer plaza, straight to the bus stop. And there I don't even stop. I don't even stop to say a pasuk. Is that mutter at all? And many people that do that. Oh. So here we see the question, the status, what is exactly the status of Rechov? So a simple reading of the Rambam is that places that are used for Taniyos and Ma'amados don't have Kedusha. And I would argue, according to Rambam, there's no Shaila of Kedusha at all. However, here we come to Yitzchak's Ha'ara. The Gemara in Megillah, in the beginning of the fourth Perek B'nei Ha'ir on Daf Chaf Hei Amebeis, has a machlokis on the daf between Rashi and Tosos, what the appropriate girsa in the Mishnah is. The Mishnah tells us that there is an opinion of Reb Menachem. I'm summarizing the Gemara. Reb Menachem, who holds that a Rechov has Kedusha, the Gemara says the Chachamim say there's no Kedusha. Hence the Pesach of the Rambam, like the Chachamim, that there's no Kedusha. Comes along Tosos, and Tosos says, but the girsa that Rashi and the other Rishonim have is wrong. Because what's the girsa that they have on the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah? B'nei ha'ir, shemachru rechova shel ir, and the Gemara then comments, actually it's the Lashon of the Gemara, ho'il va'am mispalim bo b'tanios u'b'ma'amados. The Gemara says that according to the Rabbanan, there's no Kedusha to the Rechov, even though they daven there both for Tanios and Ma'amados. That's the Gemara, okay? So let's crunch again. The Gemara says, Tanios and Ma'amados, they daven there and there's no Kedusha. However, comes along Tosos, and Tosos says, not like Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, lo garis ube Ma'amados. You don't have the Girsa of Ma'amados. We take out the Girsa of Ma'amados. Why? Why did Tosos take out the Girsa, the word Ma'amados, while Rashi retains that word? What's going on? So comes along, based on the Bach and a Hosafa to Rashi, which probably came from the Bach, comes along the Mishnas Yosef, Rav Yosef Lieberman, and he suggests the following pshat in Machlokas between Rashi and Tosas. Whether you take out Ma'amados or not revolves around the following. Tanios is unpredictable when the streets are going to be used for tefillah. You don't know when they're going to use it. Ma'amados, it's not often. Normally the street is used for cars, for people to stand and talk. But there are times, kavua, when the Ma'amados meet to daven in the Rechov. So what's the lumnus in the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? What is the definition of akra'ui by chance that removes the status of Beis HaKnesses, of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? According to Rashi, even if there are times kavua that they daven there, even if there are times that they're kavua that they daven there, but at the end of the day, it's not common, once in a while, so that's not enough to give the makom the status of Kedusha. It has a full-fledged status of Rechov. However, Tosfos holds not that way. Tosfos holds that if Ma'amados, the Ma'amados will meet there every once in a while, bikvius, so then in such a case, an area that's used, bikvius, even every once in a while, is enough to already have Kedusha. So therefore, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where the outer plaza is used, at least for Birchas Kohanim, not more instances. So then in such a case, one could argue that Gufa, it's going to be Talui, this issue will be Talui on the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. It's a beautiful La'ara by this Rav Yosef Lieberman. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's probably one of the world's biggest experts in Shvius. When you learn Shvius, Mishnas Yosef and all the halachas from is quoted left and right. You know, they say a story that when Rav Shechter was giving shir in Yeshiva HaKotel, I think he said, I think he told me this, that one time he said was giving shir and a malach stood up and asked me a question. That was Rav Nevinson. So I had a little bit of that sense. I went to Rav Lieberman to buy his svarim when I was learning Maseches Megillah. Right before Shvius, I bought his farm in Shvius and so on. And he opened up the door. It's mamish like a malach. He lives in Meir Sharm. Maharish Malchus is so fine, so sweet. He's a tremendous, he's makif tremendously. He's swarm very, very, very beautifully. As Shas Chuvas, many areas of Shulchan Aruch. We'll see in a moment, he has a very interesting take on the whole status of the Kotel Plaza. But at first glance, just in breaking down the Machlekes Rishonim, we have, according to Taisus, who says that it's used bikavua at certain times in the year, by definition, has it. According to Rashi, it falls in the status of Rechov. And we paskin like the Rabbanan, who say that a Rechov does not have Kedusha.
Say for the Kotel Plaza, if it weren't for the Rambam, I would just say that it's less than the other reasons given, because the davka is just for overflow.
Oh.
It's not even, that's not where people are supposed to daven.
Uh-huh. Because it's even,
people go to daven, okay. They're not going to
it's
daven.
A very good ha'ara. It's beyond our scope for today. There is a Chuvas Marit that's quoted by the Magen Avram in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses that seems to say that even overflow will fall into that same category. It's a Chuvas Marit in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses that's quoted by the Magen Avram. It's a fair chiluk. It's discussed all by the these poskim. Also, another Maramakum that really develops this sugya very well. We'll get back to this Maramakum is the rabbi of the. Of course, we can't get the most important Maramakum book, Men Are From Mars, but we're still far away from that. So the Shaul Zechuvah Shari Tzion from Rabbi Rabinowitz, who's the rabbi of the Kotel. So he talks about this, and he mamish lays it out the way the Mishnah Yosef starts out, that l'chura should be talui in the machlokas. The Machlokas Rashi Tosis.
Would
yes.
Would it be limited to the Kotel Plaza? Like, what about the Nativ steps? I mean, like, when you have going when it overflows.
Oh, so the question is, where do you draw the line? Right. Where do you draw the line? As long, and that gets back to that Marit. How you? I have an Arichus on that Marit. I could show you my notes. It's beyond our scope right now. But in a Hanami, where the line is drawn is not so clear to me. Where the line would be drawn. Where the line would be drawn is not so clear. Because the chura, if it's used, if you know that it, I think the difference would be is if there's no kviyas even that the steps are used, and berchas, I've never been zocha to be on berchas kohanim, but every berchas kohanim, the steps even used, if every berchas kohanim, then maybe the halacha would be that one. Okay. How do we paskin? Machlokas Rashi tells us. Let's be medayik in Lashon Rambam. That we again the same Rambam. This is lots of fun because the Mar Makomo stay focused. So the Lashon Rambam again. Let's read Lashono Hazav in Perek Yudav Halacha Falt. And keep in mind that in Shulchan Aruch almost everything in the Rambam's Lashon in Simin Kuf Nun Dalet is quoted minus the end. But let's hear Lashon Rambam again. Rechova shel ir afal pisha al mispalim bo bitanios. Ubimamados. Mipnesha kibbutz rav. The aim button you see is machlinosan. Aim bo kedusha. Mipnesha arrive alone nikbalat fila. Vechain button vechatseros. Also houses and courtyards. Sha'om miskab simbahem lit fila. Aim bam kedusha. Mipnesha lo kavwalsan lit fila bilvat. They're not used for tfila. Ela arai mispalam ben. If they're only used arai. Ka'odam? Shemispalo b'soich beisoi perik yud alef halacha chaf alef, like someone who davens in his house. So the Rambam says, if it's a makom that's used for other things, then it has a status of rechov, and then it doesn't have kedusha. Oh, comes along the mechaber and simin kuf nun dalid, and he quotes the Rambam came out verbatim. So according to the Rambam, it would seem that anything that's not designated only for use does not have Kedusha, and presumably then, all the halachos about bizayon in Beis HaKnesses, halachos of eating, I remember I once saw a fight between different types of sects of Jews of whether you're allowed to make a Kiddush in that area, right? Kiddush. That's not pashut. But according to Rambam, Kiddush would be okay. According to Rambam, there's no justification for a fight, but according to Rambam, it will be okay. And the Rambam's lashon is it's kadam shemispal b'soch beisa. It's just like every once in a while a person has to daven b'yichidus in his house. So too, you have to daven it. There's not enough room, but it's not a makom that has
that has kedusha. The Be'er Halacha, though, throws a monkey wrench into this. The Be'er Halacha has a great ritva that he found. This is the Gadlus of the Chafetz Chaim, that he's able to take a nuanced rishon in a sugya and be ma'over to us that nuanced rishon might have great import la'alacha. So on that, on the spot, the Be'er Halacha just points out that the ritva says that even if a rechov doesn't have kedusha, the ritva's of the opinion not allowed to do minuk bizayim there. So it could be, the Mishnah, of course, is talking about whether you're allowed to use the money for chulin. If you sell something of kedusha, you're not allowed to use the money for chulin. So maybe there you could be lenient. But minig mizayon, Rehov already has a little bit of kedusha. At the end of the day, people associate. When I was last here, wasn't a place that anything could happen. This was a great maimad happened here, a great experience, a great spiritual experience. So it's not supposed to be used for Bizayon. So according to the Ritva, it could very well be that there's no Isra of Kapandria, but at the same time, Yesh Lodun, exactly what the Hagdara of Bizayon is, but certain things that are a little too Hamish should not be taking place over there. Maybe we could be Mosif to Be'er Halacha Za'arad. And this is Rav Zsolti's comment. This is a Rav Zsolti that Rabbi Rabinowitz quotes in the Shalos Tshuvos Shaarei Tzion, that the great Rav of Yerushalayim, one of the great Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, Rav Zsolti, whose Torah is so sweet, so Rav Zsolti was medayek that the Shulchan Aruch has all of the Lashon of the Rambam, except for the last line of the Rambam, where the Rambam says, El mispalom ben ka'odom shemispalol besoch beso. Marana Mechaber doesn't have the lashon of it's keilu your besoch your bias. So why did the Rambam omit it? So according to Be'er Halacha's diuk from the Ritva, it's good in your house. You're allowed to do dvarim that qualify as bizayon. But according to the Ritva, kafter efech, no. According to the Ritva, you're not. Whether that was the kavanas and mechaber, we're going to have to wait to be as goel to be or. Maybe we'll be zochet to have the same magid of Rabbi Yosef Karo. But without that, it's hard to know whether that was the Kavanas of Mechaber, but Rav Zsolti has a nice ha'ara to concretize this shita of the Ritva. So Hayotze Midvarenu, in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, we're Mekel. Tosus is shita, even in, if we accept the above analysis of the Mishnas Yosef and the Shaarei Tzion, that the halacha is that there would be Kedusha there. We don't accept it la halacha, Tosus' position. The Shulchan Aruch follows the position of the Rambam. Okay, this would lechura be the end of the discussion. But I want to point out to you that the Mishnas Yosef la halacha has a very, very different approach. And here, I would say my Rebbe, Ba'ofen Kavua versus my Rebbe from distance have totally different takes on the whole thing, and essentially it becomes a machlokas and metzias. The Mishnas Yosef, in a letter, again, he's one of the big guns on these types of issues, so Rav Yosef Lieberman, in a letter to Rabbi Rabinowitz, writes, the chas v'chalila to view the the outer plaza? How to view the outer plaza as anything less than kedushas beis haknesses Mamish. He says, of course, as Kedusha Space HaKnesses Mamish. He says, I remember that in 1967, that originally, of course, the whole holy area was going to be used for nothing else than one big Beis HaKnesses. And of course, it should be used, he argues, for nothing else than Beis HaKnesses. Says Rav Yosef. It was originally built But of course, he says it has a status of full-fledged Beis HaKnesses. In contrast, Rav Nevin Sal, in two places to Rav Rabinowitz, he keeps on banging home the same point. I believe. No, it's in one place. But he says it very strongly. Rav Nevensal to Rabinowitz writes, Tzarechiyun, how could you say that has any status of Kedusha whatsoever? Sha'arei miyuedes gam letayorim ba'alma v'yeshbad b'tedirus taruvos gvarim v'noshim. So he says it doesn't have any status whatsoever because it's set aside for use by tourists. It almost becomes a machlokis in Metzias. How do you look at the development of it? Mi ani la'amod bein ha'gedolim ha'elu. But in general, I follow what Rav Nevensal says in this issue, and therefore it seems that there wouldn't be an issur of Kapandria for sure. Now, the Mishnah Siyosef has an interesting take. Even though he holds that it has full-fledged Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, he says, but it's going to be like a Chatzar Beis HaKnesses. Therefore, he claims that a Chatzar Beis HaKnesses, there's no issur of Kapandria. If you hold a Chatzar Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha, and this gets involved with the Marit that we had mentioned before, so then in such a case there is no problem of you walking through it, even if it has the status of Kedusha. So that's how Rav Yosef Lieberman has his cake and eats it, because he says on the one hand it has Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, full-fledged Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, but there wouldn't be an Isser of Kapandria. So what would emerge then is, according to all the poskim today, it would not be a problem walk through the outer plaza, even if those who say that it has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Okay, Ad Kan Divrei Halacha, in terms of the status of those areas, and you could shteltsu on your own, you could relate on your own these ideas to other makomos that are used sometimes for part-time tefillah use. Whether they have Kedusha or not, but of course the most exciting way to discuss it is in the status of the Makom HaMikdash, or the Yad Kosel HaMarabi. But let's come back now to the Machshava that we had asked, and that was, why is it that when it comes to the Rambam formulates, and we see already in Chazal, the emphasis of Tefillah, and the Makor and the Pasuk and Parashas Baloscha, yet there's nothing in the Pasuk at all that says Varios and Bechatzotzros is in reference to Tefillah. That's Tzarechiyun number one. Another Tzarechiyun, and this Tzarechiyun will be a way to be Miyashev. One of my Talmidim mentioned this to me, and I want to mention this, Lezecher Nishmas, a Talmud that was in Yeshiva. But let me tell you the deal. The Psukim in Parshas Baloscha, if you look back, Sukkim mentioned different ways of blowing the Chatzotzros. So this Talmud of mine, Meir Oppenheimer, pointed out that the Torah over here, in Pasuk Tes, in Perikut Pasuk Tes, speaks about Variosim B'Chatzotzros. Yet, beforehand, it doesn't use the Lashon solely of Truah. It speaks the Lashon Tkia. Take a look at Pasuk Hey. Or start even before Pasuk Gimel. V'saku b'hen v'nadu elecha kol eidol pesach olmoi v'im b'achas yisko v'nadu elecha nesim rashi alfi yisrael uskatem trua. But here the lashon is both tkiya and trua. V'nasu amachnos hachonim kedma. And again uskatem trua sheinis uvahakilas akol tisko v'lo sariu. So when we moved, it was both a tkiya and a trua, and when we gathered together, it was only a tkiya. The only time it says only trua is in reference to the chatzotzros. So to summarize, we have three tzarechiyuns. Number one, why does the Rambam omit trua altogether in the Pirkei Mitzvos? Number two, where did the Rambam at all get tefillah from hatzar in the case of chaskel and melchama of tzara tzor eslem? And number three, why is it that the first one of the tzarechiyuns I mentioned earlier before? And number, again, should I say the first two again? Is it clear? And one more time? Yeah, in the Rambam, in the Pirkei HaMitzvos, doesn't mention blowing the chatzotzros at all, in the what's called also the koteret. That's tzarechiyun number one. The next two tzarechiyuns that we just mentioned now is that the Rambam tells us that there's a mitzvah tzaka l'Hashem, and we don't see that from the pasuk altogether. And number three is, why do the psukim emphasize variosim bechatzotzros only dafka trua and not tekiya as in the other instances? So the Netziv writes in Rosh Hashanah, just one line, in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, he says a lashon meirin of trua by shofar is a lashon of tefillah. It doesn't bring any rayas. It could be that the Rambam is understanding that the lashon of ariosim mechatzotzros is a lashon of tefillah, and I'd like to bring a couple of rayas. First of all, the Gemara in Tainus on Yudalit Amid Aleph says on the Mishnah that says that your masriyah, that you blow a trua, on the Tainus, the Mishnah says, the Gemara then comments on that Mishnah, and the Gemara says, what does it mean to do trua? The Gemara has two opinions, either blow shofar or to say anena. There's one opinion in the Gemara that understands that the word masriyah means entirely tefillah. Yoser Miza. If we take a look in Iov, in Perek Lamigimel, Pasuk Chavav, there the Torah uses the expression of tefillah absolutely tefillah with the expression of trua. Lamigimel Chavav, Vayetar al Hashem veYirtzei vayar panav bisrua. And they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face with trua. Their trua is a reference to tefillah. So hence, that's where the Netziv. The Netziv is in the middle of talking about Hilcha Shofar. He doesn't even tell us what he means, but hence that where the Netziv got those that idea that we see that the Lashon of Teruah is a reference to tefillah. So therefore, let's come back to this Talmud Meir's Diuk. Meir's Diuk is the following. Meir is pointing out that when it comes to Variosim Bechatzotzros, there's a double entendre here. There's a double meaning over here. Number one is the act of blowing. But number two, hariyosim also means tefillah. It's the bechina of tefillah. And in fact, the Abar Benel points out that the tekiya, you blow a tekiya, the apostle continues, on yosim chasnam moadeichem uskatem bechatzotzros, the Abar Benel says, that's one of confidence, of simcha. However, the trua is a lashon shvura, is broken. Why? So according to our Mahalach right now, because that's the expression of tza'aka, not stam tefillah. Even tza'aka of tefillah, it's a unique form of tefillah, and therefore one has the expression of vahariyosam. So there's a totally different bechina, and that's what the Rambam understood. Now we all know that the Rambam in the Pirkei Hamitzvos and in the Mishnah Torah, this is something that Rav Yosheber made a big deal about, and that is the Pirkei Hamitzvos has the neshama of the mitzvah, the goal of what the mitzvah is trying to accomplish. And the Mishnah Torah, the halachos, have the Pratei Hamitzvos. Example, the Ravin, what's now known as Ala Tshuva, the Ravin Ala Tshuva, describes that the mitzvah of Vidui is described in the Rambam in great detail in the Mishnah Torah. Yet in the Pirkei HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is Lashuv El Hashem. And then he just adds, V'yizvade. So why does the Rambam formulate the mitzvah differently in the Pirkei HaMitzvahs? So the Rav said the Kiyum is described in the Pirkei HaMitzvahs. The Halachos, so that's described in the Mishnah Torah. Also by Avodah Shebelev of Tefillah, the same thing. The Rambam emphasizing the Kiyum Shebelev in the Pirkei HaMitzvahs. So now, Rabosai, we could go back to all the Tzarechiyuns. What was Tzarechiyun number one? Tzarechiyun number one was, why is it that we see the Lashon of Tefillah? Where did the Rambam get the whole Kiyum D'Oraisa at all in the Parsha of Chatzotzros and the Makor for Tainus on the level of D'Oraisa? So the answer is, Variosim is the Lashon of Tefillah, like we saw from the Abar Benel even. And then the psukim are beferish's idea, and that's what the Netziv says. Why did the Rambam change in the Pirkei HaMitzvos? Because the pu'ula is the chatzotzros, but the chatzotzros is supposed to be represented being ma'orer of the tefillah. It's not the chatzotzros are not the ikur. Chatzotzros are not the ikur. A And what was the other tzarachian? What was our third tzarachian? The Pirkei HaMitzvos? And where did the Rambam get the idea of tefillah from? And what's the... And why is it the pasuk say only truest by chatzotzros? So now it's beautiful why the pasuk says only truest by chatzotzros. Because the dafka betzara tzor eschem, that's the expression of tefillah. Like the lachat, says the Barbanel, is bringing out. The Ramban is ma'arich on this in a slightly different direction, but I think if you look in the Ramban, it will fit in to the idea that we're presenting here. I say this idea from Meir Bischus, the neshama of he's a dear Talmud of mine, his roommate, David Rattenstreif's, was nifter 2 months ago. And so it should be, it's mamish 2 months ago tonight. So it should be this beautiful diuk that he's making that I didn't see anybody speak about it. And then I began to look around and I saw the Barbanel and so on. I was saying this idea in the Pirkei HaMitzvos and in the Lashon HaRambam. So he's back in Eretz Yisrael now. I just want to share with you a story that he told me, which I think is very striking about the Nifter. And that is that the boys described that when they were going down to the Kotel, so there was a Sefer that he loved very much. And they were on some big march, and they were arriving at the Kotel HaMaravi, and throughout the march, taking a day or two, so he was chazering all the sefer that he loved. I'm not sure what the sefer was. Before he called somebody in America because there was a part that he didn't understand. Before he went down, tonight's subject is on the Kedusha HaKaisa. Before he went down, he wanted to have a sense of shleimus. So the bikush, to be able to have a sense of shleimus in one's Torah, is something that his chaverim told me, something that he very much represented. And that's something that we all have to constantly work on in our selves. Okay, so this is the Mahalach in the Rambam, the centrality of tefillah, and the centrality of tefillah to the point that in the Halacha, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is going to be defined through this unique form of tefillah. Now let's go a step further in the Machshava. There's a tremendous danger in one reading the Torah only in terms of the perspective of Halacha. This is a great example of where the essence could be missed. And I'm not saying anything new. Bali Musar will point out that people often miss the essence of what a tainus is. Tainus is at most a derabbanan. The kiyum of Sa'aka could be a kiyum on a level of daraisa. For Rabosai, not only is it that people can miss what the halacha is trying to dictate in us, but it could also miss the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us with that halacha. Take a look. Listen now how the Rambam follows up in Halacha Beis, Perek Alf Halacha Beis. V'dover ze midarkei atshuvahu. Rambam's now saying that to do tainis, I'll call tzar shetavo. Shebizman shetavo tzar v'yizaku la v'yiriyu, yeidu hakol, shebiglal ha-maseim arom hora lehen. That they should know that it's because of their maseim arom. Continues Rambam Halacha Gimel. Avol im lo yizaku v'lo yiriyu, Elo yomru dover zem iminega olam irulanu itzarizu nikris harezu derech achzorius. The Rambam says if we don't take the messages, if we don't listen to the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, then that's a midah of achzorius. So Rabbos, I want to point out that the two things are paralleling each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes tells messages and he tells us how to respond to the messages. But both of them, we have to be able to look beyond the chitzon to be able to find the pnimi. So when we see the message, and we realize there's a mechayiv of tainus, or a rabbeim teaches that there's a mechayiv of tainus, or the mesorah teaches us there's a mechayiv of tainus, then we also have to look beyond what the essence of what, at first glance, the tainus is. We have to look beyond what's a simple pshat of ariosim v'chatzotzros, to realize that the chatzotzros represent the bechina of tefillah. This is very, very important in the tkufa we're in right now, on a global level, And it's very, very important in terms of our avoda as yechidim as well. Rabbi Michael Broyd wrote a fascinating article. And he said, it's mind-boggling to think, just to put in historical context, that in the last day or two, Barack Obama has in many ways changed the direction of the United States' whole mahus vis-a-vis the Medina, vis-a-vis our yishuv. And this is, I think, falls into the category Shetavo Tzara. This is Bebechinas Tavo Tzara. It's hard to know where things start and where things are going to lead. So Rabbi Broyd in an article points out, do you know how close we were to having an Orthodox president of the United States right now? He claims, if not for Monica Lewinsky, George Bush. Monica Lewinsky. George Bush would never have been elected. Al Gore would have been president. And if Al Gore would have been president, the odds are is that Joe Lieberman would be president of the United States today. Mikotze lakotze, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Mikotze lakotze. That we've gone from what we thought was something that was great. We felt so complacent that now there's, even whether he won or not, that there's an Orthodox Jew and that the Yishuv would be in some way protected by American Ishtadlis. And now we feel our tremendous vulnerability, which we always have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us that tremendous vulnerability. I remember that when Lieberman was running, there was a tremendous sense of complacency in the Orthodox community. For many more liberal Jews, it was a proof that an Orthodox Jew could go anywhere. He could become president of the United States. And for conservatives, people more conservative Orthodox, if you will, what I mean is the more conservative in their political leanings, they had problems with Lieberman that he was too liberal. Why can't you present Judaic conservative values more boldly? Both of those approaches represented a certain complacency in both directions. The liberal vantage point is that everything is fine. We could be the president of the United States. And the conservative vantage point that we're not in Golis anymore. Both things are not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that even in being Zocha, to be able to go and to daven, to be mefalpel, what exactly is the status of the outer plaza, at the end of the day, we're still very, very much in Golis, and the Yishuv is still b'makom sakana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns everything on its head to remind us that we are vulnerable. And we will always be vulnerable at Biasko. And we have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messages. And to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us something here. That's Aleph. There's another lesson over here in V'hari Yosem B'chatzaitzres. And that is, in regards to Shalom Bayis, that sometimes we don't listen to the real message that's being sent us. On a very, very simple, homey level. Let's go going from the big cloud to a very, very small prat in the bayis. You're sitting at home supper, and your wife says to you, are the potatoes too salty? Say, no, they're fine. Okay, they're fine. They were good. Say, they're great. Then she serves the chicken, and she says, is the chicken too spicy? Say, no, it's great. It's like you always make it. So Rabbi Osai, this young man totally flunked the test. Totally flunked the test. He missed what she was saying. He wasn't listening to what she was saying at all. And that's an akuda. It's an akuda in Avodas Hashem to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us. And even if we can't be, I don't like saying, oh, this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us because of this and this. But it's enough to know that the yishuv is vulnerable. I don't know exactly the prate pratim, but I know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending us that message, that we need to feel vulnerable. He wants us to feel vulnerable. And then, in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, there are times that we're also not chapping the message that's being sent to us. When one's wife is asking whether potatoes are salty, she knows it's not salty. She's been cooking it for a while. Every once in a while it could be that she has a chashash, but most of the time it's not that. You know what she's really saying? I want you to notice the potatoes. I want you to notice these potatoes. It's not enough to say that the potatoes are great. Even if someone knows, and sometimes they say, no, they're great, fantastic, thank you. She wants to be appreciated. One of the most important nekudos of a relationship between men and women, what a woman looks for constantly is the sense of the husband really notices and appreciates what she is and how much she wants to be noticed and appreciated. Gray in the Men Are From Mars writes a list of what women need to receive and what men need to receive. Women need to receive 1, caring. I'm not going to be medayik and everything. It's not that's Sfarim HaKadoshim, but I want to bring out one point. Oh, by the way, I have to throw in something on a caveat to all this. I'm not surprised at all that someone told me that John Gray is now working on his third marriage. Did I mention this already in Shir? He's working on his third marriage. And I think I already pointed out to you that I already had a taina on the subtitle of the book. And that is A Practical Guide for Improving Communication and Getting What You Want in Your Relationships. That already shows that the hedonistic component of it. But at the same time, he was the first really to outline some very, very important nekudas. And at Baruch Hashem, there are B'nai Torah now who are writing books, and 10 years from now probably won't need someone who's working on his third marriage. You'll probably be able to get a real Ben Torah who does it so well and clearly, even with Maromakomos and Chazal. Maybe we could put together some of our Maromakomos. But either way, still, I think the points that he touches on are extremely valuable. So let me just point out. Women need to receive caring, 1, 2, understanding, 3, respect, 4, devotion, 5, validation, 6, assurance. Men need to receive 1, trust, 2, acceptance, 3, appreciation, 4, admiration, 5, approval, 6, encouragement. I'd like to be medayik the following. What's unique to the woman is 3 out of the 6 are understanding, validation, and reassurance. That's constantly the understanding of what she's gone through, to validate what she's done, and to reassure. Though you could argue that he's not even being precise. It's almost repetition. If this was a sefer, we would try to be mefalpa. What's the difference exactly between validation and reassurance? You don't have those words at all when it comes to men. And the reason for that is that there's something in the teva of the isha that wants to feel noticed and appreciated, loved by her husband. And so therefore, if she's asking how something is, probably, let's say 7 out of 10 times, is really not how that is, but rather she wants you to notice. And it's amazing. I'd be looking back in my own 14 years of marriage, how many, if I had known this idea, how better of a husband I would have been. I didn't internalize this idea at all. Another example. She asks you, how do you like my outfit? So what she's not asking only is, do you like the style? Could be that's part of things, but what she wants you to do is to, and here, listen to the Lashon, to look and to notice. And my wife said to me tonight, she just didn't use the word tzvei dinim, but she said there's tzvei dinim here. There's to look, and then there's to notice. So the husband could look, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to notice what she wants. And that is, she wants to feel that her husband notices her, and that, again, he appreciates her, that he shows her, that he gives her that reassurance that he thinks that she's pretty. That brings me to another tzvei dinim. Not only looking and noticing, that sometimes our wives will ask us to look and we'll finally manage to bring our heads up from whatever we're reading. And then look and respond and answer a question, but that's not what she wanted. She wanted you really to notice, to put down whatever you were reading and really to notice it. Along the lines of the same tzvei dinim of talking and speaking. They describe that someone went into therapy. A couple. They go into therapy and the therapist says, "How's your marriage?" She says, "Not so good. My husband doesn't speak with me." He says, "I don't speak with you?" He said, "Yeah, when was the last time you spoke to me?" She says, "Last time we spoke." He said, we spoke for a half hour before we got into the car, and we spoke the whole way in the car. I wasn't listening to the radio. I turned off my cell phone. I wasn't talking on the phone. Talking the whole time. We were speaking the whole time." So she says, "What were we talking about?" "Well, I told you that I have to pick up the kids at 4 o'clock, and I want to remind you that I have the laundry that needs to be picked up, and I offered to help you." He's a good husband. And he said, "And I offered to help you tonight and drive you there. And then I told you that next week leave open from 3 to 7 because it's a championship football game. Please leave that open." She says, "I don't mind that you told me to leave open 3 to 7. But that's not speaking with me. You were talking to me." A lot of times, even if we're being thoughtful, that's talking. It's not speaking. Speaking is a different din. Speaking is, again, sharing and validating her feelings and emotions. Your emotions too, for sure. Your emotions also. But a lot of times, men, for reasons that we've spoken about in the past, the men tend to be a little more tachlis-oriented as opposed to women. So then what we do is we focus more on talking as opposed to speaking. And then we say, of course, we spent a lot of time talking. But that's not called speaking. And if sometimes, in 15 minutes of real speaking, you could save hours worth of talking if you really begin to focus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata nishmaya to be able to listen to those messages, both those messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us, messages that our spouse is sending us in terms of building a big Dash Ma'at. And then ultimately also, I think it's important to transpose some of these ideas that we've said in Beinan L'Chaver, and more subtle sendings as well, in terms of relationship, in terms of Dibur Chaverim and the Beis Medrash, sometimes to realize that there are certain components. Sometimes when someone says something to us in the Beis Medrash as well, they might be not only asking you about what they're saying about, but there's also something else that's on their mind. To be able to have that koach. And that koach is a very, very unique koach. The koach to be able to listen is a very, very special koach. And I've seen it over and over and over again, that people who are able to listen, to really listen to people and to take time out, not only to talk to them, but to really speak to them, so those people can do tremendous, tremendous things in Beinan L'Chaver. They don't have to be particularly talented. They don't have to unique kochos. What they have to do is just have that willingness to be able to listen. I had a Talmud that called me up. And he said to me, he's learning not in a yeshiva miskeret. For whatever reason, I think it's a mistake. And he said to me, "Rebbe, is the first person, he doesn't have a good relationship with his parents, unfortunately. You're the first person that listens to me that I don't have to pay to listen to me." will say there's a tragedy that's going on in the world. And that is, the tragedy that's taking place is that people aren't listening anymore. And the reason for that is because they're listening to their Walkmans, they're listening to this year, listening to that, they're listening to everything, but they're not really listening. What would be the two dinim in listening? There's two dinim over here. The two dinim are, the way the Rav Soloveitchik said it, he said it in Yiddish. The Rav said in Yiddish, this I heard from Rav Ranshbin, there's suherin, and then on suderherin. There's means to listen, and then there's to comprehend. And there might be a lot of listening that's going on. We might be constantly filling our ears with things, but really to listen, ba'omek, to really comprehend, that's something that's really missing in our Torah. Not only a unique Talmud who's in a difficult situation, I think that's something that represents a much deeper chisaron in society today. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka wants us to, he's training us to have that sensitive ear when he sends us a message that's difficult for us to hear, that reminds us that we're Am Vod of Yishkan, and yet at the same time also the subtle messages that we hear from people that are most dear to us.